Grab your Bibles, if you would, please, and let's study a little bit in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope you didn't mind. I hope you don't mind. The Holy Spirit is kind of steering us this Sunday off of our Book of Acts study for a week. And is it okay if I'm obedient to the Lord? Amen. This one may be a little tough. You'll understand in just a moment why I'm saying that. I want you to be very aware that I am aware and very sensitive to the loss that some of you have experienced in the last weeks or last few months of a loved one. And even as I preach this morning, you're totally in my heart as we share this portion of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1, Paul says, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Amen? Today's the day. We live in a up-to-the-moment breaking news time. Sometimes it's a little disgusting, you know. Every time a news broadcast comes on, it's breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. You know, I want to just go, just tell me the news. Just forget all the breaking stuff. But they have to play the music and bells and whistles go off because they're telling us something that's happening right at that moment. We're really the first generation who has had to deal with information in that way. I think back, even in the 1960s and the Vietnam War, there was a lag time between what happened on the battlefield and how long it took. It was down to days, even hours, in the 1960s, where information, things that happen and the information is reported upon. But we're living in a time, and we are the first generation to be dealing with information as it's happening. Breaking news right now. Somebody's shooting somebody. Somebody's hurting somebody. There's a tragedy going on. And I know that sometimes, if you're like me, that gets a little heavy. It's not only are you dealing with your stuff, but you're dealing with the stuff of those that you love and care about. And then all of a sudden, they dump on you that there are 300 young people missing in the South Korean Sea because a ferry went down. And there's another 200 and some people that who knows where they are from the Flight 370. That left Malaysia and is still missing. And those things, though we go on with our lives, they still are very much a part of us and they're in us. How many know what I'm talking about? It's no wonder that we feel the pressures of life coming down on top of us. As a pastor, one of the charges that I have is to participate in the funerals of both individuals and the congregation and also loved ones from time to time. But there's another piece of this that is my reality, and from time to time the Holy Spirit has to steer me to deal with it in a regular service, because I am charged as a pastor to preach to future corpses. You can think about that for a minute. That's us. There's a very good possibility I would say even to the realm of probability, that one or two or three or four or five or six or seven or eight or perhaps more of you will not be sitting in these seats this time next year, because the day of your death will come. I know that that seems staggering, and we oftentimes would just as soon not think about it. Let's just sort of move on and pretend that it doesn't exist until it happens. But again, it's not just my charge to preach funerals, but it's to prepare those who will have a funeral. As Paul said, understanding that now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation, is the smartest thing that we can do as individuals. We are not in these bodies eternal. Now, rather than talk about death all day, I want to frame this in something that perhaps will allow you to help you to think with me. And it's the title of this message, When Now Becomes Forever. When now becomes forever. It's going to happen in our lives. Just so that you can help me with this message, I'd like for you to do something for me. I'd like for you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to die. I'm not sure exactly why some of you are laughing, but I appreciate the joy. That relieves the tension, doesn't it? Let me chuckle as though it's sort of not even going to happen. And yet, the reality of our lives, every single one of us in here know that it will. I do want to start us off this morning with something that may cause your heart to chuckle. At least if you're of a certain age, you will get this. This is an obituary that appeared not too long ago for Waldo, 36 years old. Waldo, 36, is missing and presumed dead. Quote, we gave up looking for him years ago, unquote, said a spokesman for a local search team. In the past, we'd scour the earth. By every time we'd find him, but every time we'd find him, he'd take off again. Finally, we put his picture on a milk carton and said, forget it. Other reactions were mixed. It was a case of sibling rivalry, said Carmen Sandiego, his half-sister. Waldo tried to outdo me by hiding in shopping malls and outdoor rock concerts. These had no educational value, so it's no wonder people stopped caring. The little deadbeat owed us for 20,000 tasseled caps, said a spokesman for the Acme Headgear Company. Now we're filing for bankruptcy thanks to him. A memorial service for Waldo will be held at 11 a.m. tomorrow at an unspecified location. And those wishing to attend will have to find it for themselves. All right, there it is. Wow. I'm just so excited to get to preach about death. You see, there's never a good day to talk about death. I have tried for years to get those who are of a certain age to jot down a few notes of what they would like to have in their service, a song, a scripture, a poem or book that they like. And I have no fortune in getting people to do that. And yet I have sat then with their children months or years later as they agonize to put together a service that would have been meaningful to mom or dad or brother or sister or whatever, and they're guessing as to what would have been meaningful. We don't like to think about death. And yet we need to. I would like to alter your perspective just a little bit about this whole death and dying thing. C.S. Lewis said, if we really think that home is elsewhere, you know, like heaven, if we really think that home is elsewhere and that this life is a wandering to find home, why should we not look forward to the arrival? If heaven is this incredibly wonderful place, then we as believers who have been changed and recreated in the likeness of Jesus, we should have a different perspective on death than those who are without Him. How many believe that? How many just don't want to think about it? Come on, be honest. Let me just quickly this morning give you three things to think about. Three groupings of things. The first is this: when now becomes forever, the finite becomes infinite. When now becomes forever, at death, the finite becomes infinite. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 gives us a peek behind the curtain. He says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends." That's us. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Now, I know that that goes way past every single one of our thinking, that 1,000 years would be as a day to the Lord. But think about this new timing. So if we're looking at, if we use the biblical values, creation, or the creation story, worked its way into the Bible 5,000 years ago, or by God's timing, 5 days ago. The lifespan of 100 years, which we all kind of hope for 100, we celebrate when somebody goes to 100, would be the equivalent of 2 hours and 40 minutes, or 2 hours and 24 minutes. 10 years is 14 minutes. When you and I pass from the confines of this life into the eternal, we move from the measurables of time into a timeless realm. Now, we're fixed to these clocks. We can prove it here in a few minutes if you'd like. I started this message this morning under the constraint of the clock. My realization is that it doesn't matter how good that this may end up being. There is a point in time where you've had enough. We live in this finite, in this fixed measure of time. But when you and I end our journey in this body, we leave that time machine behind. No clocks in heaven. That's going to be neat. You know, it says that we will gather around the throne and worship the Lord, and there won't be a clock in the back of the room. We will not be worrying over what we're going to do next, because What we know is to stand and to be in His presence, to honor Him who purchased our privilege to be there in that throne room. They've told us that at some point in the process that there's going to be a supper, a marriage supper, where the body of Christ is married to Jesus. It's at that supper that He said He would drink from the fruit of the vine new with us. But He doesn't tell us how long that will be. He just simply says it's going to happen. You will notice that everything about heaven and eternity is eternal, infinite. Because one step beyond this life, one half billionth of a second beyond this life, and we leave time behind. I know, that's going to be pretty incredible. No more daytimers, nighttimers, bedtimers, no more alarm clocks. Snooze alarms. It's interesting to me because Jesus, who lived with one foot in each realm because of who He was, He understood completely because He was the Son of God. He understood what existed beyond this life. And so He always referenced death as sleep. And His disciples couldn't get their heads around that because to them, death was as it is for us. It was final. It was the end. And Jesus never saw death as the end. He said, you know, Lazarus isn't dead. He's asleep. Well, he said, well, if he's asleep, then he was doing better. Jesus said, no, he's dead. Well, make up your mind. Can you imagine how hard it was for him to have full understanding, having come from the Father, having come out of eternity past, how difficult it would have been for him to have been confined with the measure of the clock? You can hear it just a little bit in some of his words when he says to his disciples, he says, you know, I have a work to do. You know, they would say about, oh, great crowds are coming. Let's stand and bask in the crowds. Jesus said, no, let's move on to the next place. It wasn't just an ego thing or humility kind of a thing. It was the fact that he, for the first time in eternity, was in the confines of time. He realized that his journey was a brief journey and that he had work to do during that brief period of time, and he needed to be about it. He was very deliberate in staying on task and staying focused about what he needed to do. And as the days grew short, he set his face, the scripture said, toward Jerusalem. In other words, his calendar was fixed. He knew that he was heading to the cross to give his life for you and I. And so his purpose was shaped. His days, his hours, his minutes, his seconds were shaped by his purpose, knowing that time was not infinite as long as he was in that body that was birthed by Mary. Oh, that we could, forgive this word, smarten up and realize our finiteness in this life. You have a day. According to the Word of God, a day that God knows. Today, He knows. He knows the hour. He knows the minute. He knows the second. That you will breathe your last breath and that you will walk out of that body and into eternity. If you and I are really smart, we would begin to refocus our lives not on the finite, but on the infinite. What can I take from this world into eternity? Will it be the toys? Will it be the money? Will it even be this body? No, 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 no. The only thing that I will leave with is this spirit man. And what condition will that spirit man be in? When now becomes forever, the finite becomes infinite because space is reframed in that moment. We see the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And when they died, Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man, it says, went to hell. And in the torment of hell, he could look up and see Lazarus, the beggar that sat outside his gate. He could see him enjoying and in all of the glory of the bosom of Abraham. And some way, somehow, Jesus told this story, and he knew because he had a foot still planted deeply into that eternity. He looked across and he could see and called out to Lazarus, but Lazarus couldn't hear him. And Abraham speaks back to the rich man and says, no, in essence. The rich man said, oh, I realize I cannot get out of this. I realize I'm fixed in where I'm at. The decisions that I made in my life are fixed now. But would you send somebody to tell my brothers? Because I don't want them to come to this place. You remember Abraham's response? He said, if they will not believe the living, they will not believe even if someone comes and rises from the dead. When we pass from this life, time and space disappear. Here's one third piece of this, where the finite becomes the infinite. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I get kind of disgusted sometimes at the stuff I don't know. Anybody else? You ever bump up against what you don't know? No, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know to know what you don't know. I don't know. I bump up against what I don't know way too often. And it excites me to think that when I take a step out of this body into eternity, that I will fully know. How incredible is that? So in other words, there's hope for some of you that you will get smarter. I will not point fingers. But it's true. When we pass from this life, you know, our flesh and everything around us tells us to avoid death, stay away from it. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Do everything you can to avoid dying. But now think about it for just a minute. Time and the restraints of time will go away. Space will no longer bind us, and we will have infinite knowledge. Oh, isn't this horrible? Dread, dread, dread. You follow me today? If we get this right, if we take the information that the Lord has given us, you and I should reframe what we think about moving from the now into the forever. There could even happen inside of us what happened in the Apostle Paul when he said, I long to be free from this body. because he had a grasp of what we're talking about this morning. The second thing is this. When the now becomes forever, the spiritual will prevail over the natural. Right now, the natural prevails over the spiritual. You know how I know that? Wait 28 minutes. And the growling bellies, and the anticipation of Sunday lunch, and the clock and the stuff that has to be done this afternoon before another work week begins. All of those things will call us to attention to say, okay, enough of the spiritual. Let's get on with the natural. Hello? You can say amen. It's true. Oh me, oh my, it's true. As long as we're in this bodies, the natural will prevail over the spiritual. Don't believe me? Set aside some time for prayer. Yes, I'm going to set aside 8 hours. Be the longest 8 hours that you have spent in your entire life. Your body will ache in places you didn't know had places. You will get hungry. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention you're going to fast during that 8 hours too. Oh my goodness. Your body will hunger like it's never hungered before. And pretty soon you'll start making deals. Lord, you know I said 8 hours, but really, 30 minutes seems like 8 hours. Would that be okay? Is there anybody that knows what I'm talking about? The natural, as long as we're in this flesh, the natural prevails over the spiritual. Don't kid yourself to think otherwise. But when the now becomes forever, when you breathe your last, the spiritual will prevail over the natural. Your spirit man may be crying out within you, wanting more of your flesh than your flesh is capable of giving. Habits, things that you've done in your past may have riddled your body, and you are living the consequences constantly of the sins that you have committed. And you think, will this ever end? I'm here to tell you, yes. In that moment when you cross over from the now, from the living in that body, into the spiritual realm, the spiritual will take over and the flesh is left behind. You won't have to deal with another ache or pain. You won't have to deal with blood pressure or any kind of pressure ever again. If your life is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sins that you committed and the penalties in your body, the penalties in your life will all be gone. It's done with because He washed them away. And you will walk into eternity. And when you stand before the Lord, you think, oh my goodness, I got to stand there and give account for my life. But if you've asked the Lord Jesus to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, when the book is opened up, the book of works is opened up, there'll be nothing but good sitting there in front of Him. Because the spiritual prevails over the natural. Again, as long as you're in this flesh, you may be living the penalties and the consequences of the sins of the past. But I want you to know that He has prepared a day before you. And we needn't rush that day. Our focus needs to be upon the things that we need to fulfill while it's still day. But just know. That these light afflictions, though they may not seem so light right now, these struggles that you're going through in your body, they're only temporary. Because when you move from that body, the spiritual will prevail. Now think about this for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is a passage of Scripture that we as pastors because of the descriptiveness of these words, we will use it someplace during the funeral service. Usually, I will read these words at the graveside before the body is committed to the ground. Powerful, powerful words. The reason why I like to do it on a Sunday like this is because when we're standing there or sitting there in the chairs beside the graveside of our loved one, it's hard for us to hear. We're overcome with the emotion and the loss, and it's hard for us to hear personally the reality of these words. But listen, if you would, beginning at verse number 42. He says, "So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It's raised imperishable. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body." Can somebody say hallelujah? A natural body, Paul says, cannot inherit heaven. There has to be a change. And for most of us, that change will be the death of that natural body. But that should not be feared for those of us who know Him. Because when we give way the natural body, we get to inherit the spiritual body. I am living today toward a resurrection in Christ Jesus. A resurrected body. Only that which is pure can call heaven home. We used to sing a song, "None can live up there but the pure in heart." It says, there's a highway to heaven. Anybody remember that song? Oh, there's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. Walking in the King's highway. Something like that. My apologies to those that are listening to the tape. My out-of-tuneness really shows up on the tape. There's a highway to heaven. We're preparing right now, today, this hour, this moment, this time. Today, Paul says, is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. He said, well, I'm young. I don't have to worry about these things for several more years. Oh, I wish it were true. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the assurance of many, many years and we could just map out this life and not really get serious about things until we were old people? Doesn't happen that way. There are people of all ages who leave this world. Funerals in these funeral homes around here for babies and 100-year-olds. When the now becomes forever, the spiritual will prevail over the natural. What are you doing about the spiritual? We're working really hard on the natural. We go to curves and we don't. I don't. But I hear those that go to curves. Health spas, this place, that place, because we're working on the natural. How's it going on the spiritual? That's our business right now. You know what's incredible? I only get 40 minutes or so for us to talk about the spiritual, but One of these days, if you have been affected by the Word of God and you've made good decisions and you have prepared your spirit man, your spirit woman, one of these days when you give way of the now to the forever, you're going to be so glad we spent some time together. Oh, God, prepare us. Lord, prepare us. Even now, even in this very moment, Lord, prepare us for the grandness that is to come. Once again, when now becomes forever, the finite will become infinite. When now becomes forever, the spiritual will prevail over the natural. And final piece is, when the now becomes forever, the unchangeable shall be changed. Are there any pieces of your personality in life that you'd like to change but haven't been able to? Anybody? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah. So there's a few of us in here. You know what I'm talking about. The unchangeable. There's a change coming for all of us. Some will not experience death in the body, but they'll also be changed. In verse number 51, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. I long for the day that we who are believers get that to the point down inside of us, that when we're standing by the casket, the grave of a loved one that we know belongs to the Lord, and when we realize that death is swallowed up in victory, you know, those that know Jesus and have left the body behind, they are so much better off than we are. Oh my goodness, the things that they're seeing, the things that they know, that we only have a shadow of them. We see in through dark glasses. They see face to face. It's incredible the things that unfold for those who know the Lord when we leave these bodies behind. The unchangeable body is changed. It's the promise. Oh, believers, this morning, get it into your hearts. This isn't all there is. This isn't the end. This isn't even the beginning. The beginning happens when we think it's over. You know, we're looking at death in completely the wrong way. We are working now toward the beginning. Not the end. We're sowing in this natural body. But what is 80 years compared to eternity? And you know, we've got this terrible picture in our mind. Oh my goodness, I don't want to leave this body, because then when I go into heaven, I'm going to sit around. I got this halo. And I'm going to just sit around in a cloud all day, and it's just going to be terrible. Boy, you missed God. He said, well, you know, he's already got somebody to do everything that needs to be done. Oh, but he has things that he hasn't even created yet. He's an awesome and a glorious God who he's able to do things and do with your life things that you never ever imagined. He says to us, he said, if you'll be faithful in a few things, I will make you ruler over many. He's going to take the last and make them first. I know we can't get our brains around that. We can't fully understand. But, you know, this individual that stutters and stammers and you know, could never, ever begin to get up here in the lights and have a microphone and stuff, it would be the farthest thing from them to ever do that. God's going to use them. He's going to do incredible things for them and with them. Are you ready? Are you ready for the now to become forever?